Proverbs 3:25. It says, Proverbs 3:25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." Now we're going to take it one phrase at a time here again. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Sudden is of actions, events, conditions. It is happening or coming without warning or premonition, taking place or appearing all at once. And fear is a sudden or terrible event, peril. That's in the Old English, so that's the previous use before the King James was translated. Number two is the emotion or pain of uneasiness caused by the sense of impending danger or by the prospect of some possible evil. And I was reading that definition, and I was just thinking, it didn't really dawn on me that fear is a pain, but it is. The emotion of pain or uneasiness, and it's emotional pain. It's not typically a physical thing. But I thought it's a good way to describe fear, because it does hurt, right? It is actually a pain. And it really hadn't dawned on me yet, or before I'd read that definition. So it says here, be not afraid of sudden fear. So of fear that's going to happen all of a sudden without warning. And it makes sense to not be afraid of sudden fear, because if it's sudden fear, it hasn't happened yet, right? So if you're worrying and you're afraid about some terrible thing that's going to happen to make you afraid, there's not a whole lot of sense in that, is there? To be afraid of maybe being afraid whenever something really bad happens someday.
Did you say like 80% of the things we worry about never come to pass anyway?
I made that statistic up, but yeah. No, I heard that somewhere. I don't know what I don't know what the percentage is, but the majority, I don't know if I made it, I can't remember, but
so
I heard it
you're
somewhere.
You're worrying about nothing, usually.
Right. And that's true, because you think about all the things in your life that you worried about, and then think of how many of them actually happened, and it's probably the vast minority actually happened that you worried about. All that worrying was for naught.
When something else side blindsides you.
right. So we must not fear. And FDR, in his infinite wisdom, one of the worst presidents we ever had, Franklin D. Roosevelt, he was wrong when he said in his first inaugural address, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." You've probably heard that quote before. I don't know if you knew it was from FDR or not, but yes, that's what he said. And he was wrong about that, and economics and foreign policy, and just, about anything else that he did, he dabbled his hand in. So we don't need to fear fear. If the Lord is on our side, then we should not fear. I'll just give you one verse, Psalm 118 and verse 6. I think a better quote would have been, the only thing to fear would be FDR. That would be the only thing to fear back in those days. If it wasn't for him, the Great Depression wouldn't have lasted for over a decade. It would have been over in a year and a half, like previous ones had been. Anyway, Psalm 118 and verse 6. It says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" So if God's in your corner, and if God's watching out for you, and if he sees all things, and he knows all things, and he has all power to change all things, then there's not a whole lot to fear, is there? Now, it's easier said than done, but in your head, just with your head knowledge, it's pretty easy to think, well, yeah, there's nothing to fear if I just start using my head instead of worrying with my emotions. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Desolation is the action of laying waste a land, etc., destroying its people, crops, and buildings, and making it unfit for habitation, utter devastation, an act or occasion of this kind. So we're not to be afraid of something like this. And this is some serious stuff, right? Desolation, when a country's just totally destroyed, just ruined. Don't be afraid of that. And one of the reasons is that, notice what he says there, the desolation of the wicked, right? Don't be afraid of the desolation of the wicked, because God protects the righteous. He watches over the righteous. The wicked may get that, but we shouldn't worry about that. The desolation of the wicked often does happen suddenly, just like Proverbs is talking about here. Proverbs 6, 12 through 15. It says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Kind of like masons. You know, they teach with their fingers. They have their special handshakes. They stand with their feet at a certain angle to give people little hints and clues and, you know, unspoken language.
Their feet? Really?
They stand. Yeah, I think they stand with their feet at like a 90-degree angle or something like that, somebody told me. Or sometimes, I don't know if they probably always don't. But, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Suddenly. See, the Lord lets him get away with it for a long time, and then, bam, he gets him. That's how he does it. It's kind of neat, actually.
Verse 13, I had heard that that's talking about the occult. So is that what they're talking about, like the little signs and things? I guess I thought it was maybe more of a... The only word I can think is like somebody's doing a seance, or they're doing something that they want to make something magic happen or something supernatural. I thought that winking with his eyes, speaking with his feet, teaching. I don't know. I just have a note that mm-hmm. had to do with the occult, and I've always thought it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about what you were saying, that kind of thing.
And I'm sure it could apply to a lot of things because it's just talking about a wicked person and a naughty person. So wouldn't have to necessarily be specifically referring to one particular thing. But you think about it, like with the occult, they winketh with their eyes. You see these Illuminati people and they're winking with one eye, you know, they're covering one eye. There's a lot of that stuff
so
goes on.
So winking is not like turning, how do you say, like God winketh?
Winking is closing your eye.
Both eyes?
Either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you speak with your feet, though? The only thing that made no sense to me, and I've never looked it up because I want to be concerning those things. But
I've been told like the Masons will stand in a certain way, and then that lets everybody else know.
Says something.
Yeah.
It speaks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or parents can speak with their feet sometimes too, and they give them a swift kick in the butt to get them moving. That works too. And just think about how God brings sudden destruction on the wicked. Like in the flood, God suddenly destroyed the earth. He waited 120 years from the time he pronounced the judgment on them. And then one day, all of a sudden, the flood came. Sodom and Gomorrah, same thing, destroyed them suddenly. They went on like that, a wicked city, for a long time. And then one day, heaven opened and fire and brimstone came down. Babylon was destroyed suddenly. Isaiah 47 and verse 11. Once I get to Proverbs chapter 6, I'll do a little more noodling on that passage there. Speaketh with his feet and teacheth with his fingers. And I haven't done much research into that anyway. So.
Like 5 years?
Yeah, not that long. Maybe another year, maybe, or maybe even less. I don't know, we'll see. Isaiah 47:11. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. And you see the first verse there of 47, he's talking to Babylon. And there's a place, I believe it's in Revelation 18, where he talks about the destruction of Babylon, the spiritual Babylon, and he says, in one day, Babylon is destroyed. So yes, it happens suddenly. The wicked will have sudden destruction at the second coming of Christ. You remember that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3? First Thessalonians 5, verse 3. It says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Just when they think everything's great, they finally instituted this great grand world government, and they have, you know, all of their enemies under their feet, and everything's peaceful, and then sudden destruction comes from heaven. I look forward to that day. And Proverbs 29:1 tells us that the Lord is long-suffering. He does grant a space of repentance, but after he's granted that space for a while and repentance hasn't come, then the destruction comes suddenly. Proverbs 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So if we are living wise and godly lives, we don't need to worry about sudden destruction of the wicked, because God will protect us from it, as the next verse says. And that takes us to Proverbs 3:26.
The next verse after 20.